This week in RSBNB Update, the PBM Hub, otherwise known as War's Retreat, is here, and it's a good update. It brings together PBMers of all levels and lowers the barrier to entry. We also have news on Double XP Weekend Extended, Archaeology, and the 2020 Roadmap. This is RSBNB Update, episode 762, recorded Thursday, January 30th, 2020. War's Retreat, No Surrender. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. This week, we bring you news of War's Retreat, the Winter Chill-Off, Patch Notes, Double XP Weekend, and a live stream. Boy, it's packed in pretty tight this week, isn't it, Tanis?
Yeah, it's quite a contrast from last week, right?
Indeed it is, and, you know, being War's Retreat, a combat update, we do have one of our friends here to help us with this, David. Cab Brewing Game is here to help us talk about War's Retreat. He's our resident PVM expert and going for Insane Final Boss currently. Welcome back.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, it's nice having you back. And, you know, it feels like last time we talked, we were discussing the Decade in Review, which was one of our Patreon specials. And, you know, looking back, the Decade had lots of PVM in it. And here we are, first update of a new Decade. Is bringing PVM to the masses. So
yeah,
let's just dive right in and talk about this. But before we get too far down that path, just a reminder to everybody out there that if you want to follow along in our show notes, you can do that at update.rsbnb.com. The full show notes are there. You can also join us in game, talk to us. I am Shane12088. He is Tanis79. And David is, I think it's just Cabru in game, right?
Yep, K-A-B-R-U.
All right. So War's Retreat, this is an update that's launched with a new cinematic video by Jagex. This is, of course, known as otherwise the PVM Hub. It started off as an epic jam project, and it's one of those updates that I think we need to just have a bit of talk about now that it's here, about how it's impacting the game. David, you have your own perspective. I have mine. I'm not sure where you're going to fall down on this, Tanis, but we'll get to that all in due time, of course. And, you know, one thing I just want to highlight with this is that this is something that only needs level 60 combat in order to access, and you can access it from inside Death's office by using the door or the little artifact outside of Death's office, not the hourglass. And, you know, with that, this is making it immediately accessible to everybody who wants to, let's just say, have a jumping off point for PVM. And I don't know. I'm just going to start off and name some of these amenities, and we'll discuss these as we go through them here. I don't know that there's much that some of them need, but some of them do warrant more discussion. Starting off, everybody gets a boss portal for free. You can unlock a second boss portal after getting 100 boss kills. So, and the boss kills are a currency in a way. But because they're a currency, it doesn't mean that they run out. So once you get 100 boss kills, you can unlock it. And I mean, with that, getting two boss kills really isn't that difficult. I had 250 boss kills coming into this, believe it or not. And I don't PVM. So I'm already one quarter of the way there of unlocking everything, believe it or not.
I'm not sure how many kills I don't know. Is there an overall score on that?
Yeah, it shows at the bottom of the screen how many you had. I'd imagine.
Oh, at the bottom of the screen?
Yeah, on the bottom of the screen where you unlock everything.
Oh. Let me get back to you, Shane.
Yeah, okay. And, I mean, I bet David probably had a lot, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm going to check real quick.
But you obviously had everything unlocked.
Oh, yeah,
except
for sure.
Except for the campfire upgrades, which we'll get to in
I did that on the first day,
right? So
my campfire was fully upgraded immediately.
Well, and isn't there the adrenaline crystal as well?
Yes, and that's only boss kills. So
yeah,
here's how it works.
1,000.
1,000 boss kills for the adrenaline crystal, 200 for the altar of war, which is a altar that recharges summoning and prayer, 100 for the portal I already mentioned, and 10 for the teleport. That's a free teleport that just appears in your spell book in the same way that, you know, the max guild teleport does at the manor farm, for that example, just making a comparison there on that front. There's also a dummy area and bank chest, effectively allowing you to practice, I guess, what you could say. I don't know what people practice at the dummy area, aside from four-ticking, perhaps, unless you can fill us in.
All kinds of stuff, okay. Really, though. Lots of rotations can be practiced there. Four-ticking is a common one, but there's definitely lots of uses.
All right, fair enough.
So I have all of that stuff, but I cannot locate the adrenaline crystal thingy. Like,
they're right next to the portals.
Yeah, they're the big yellow things right next to the portal.
They're yellow things
they're right next to the portals. To the portals. Okay.
They even thought about placement in a way that was smart too. It's really
So it's not running down when you're going.
Yeah. I have 34,294 boss kills.
Well, that's a lot.
That is a lot. That's more than I was expecting. I was expecting it to be in the thousands.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've got about 4,000 Virago, 3,000 Telos, 2,000 AOD, 2,000 Araxor. So those are, I guess, the big ones.
All right. Now the campfire. You need 1,000 marks of war and 1,000 logs of the relevant tier to unlock this. And, you know, the way this works is marks of war are generated when you're fighting bosses, and you'll get up to 1,000 per hour. That's the cap. So there's effectively six different campfires that you want to upgrade with this. So you got to do roughly 6 hours of bossing to get to the top tier. And I think David has a story to tell us about the prices of oak and willow logs this week on this.
Oh, yeah. It was great. I logged in ready to upgrade my campfire, and I like spam plus 5% on the oak and willow logs because I know they're going to be expensive. Yep. I ended up paying 3.2K per oak log.
Yep.
and like 1,400 per willow log.
Yeah.
Which is great. Someone made a lot of money off me, which is great. That's awesome. So good for whoever sold me oak logs at 3.2K.
Well, good for the free-to-play woodcutting economy. And, you know, you'd see a similar thing all the way through Maple U. Probably not so much Magic because we have a
Use and Magic come in through PVM much, so I don't think. Those were cheap.
And Maple through the Kingdom, obviously, you can do that.
Right.
Elders,
it was just Oak and Willow and Elder.
Yeah, Elders are fun. I spent a few hours this week woodcutting Elders and made some nice money off of that. But this brings us to the next point, the Marks of War. The Marks of War, as I mentioned, you get 1,000 per hour if you're bossing. And it doesn't matter what boss you're doing. You could be doing the Mole, or you could be doing Telos, or you could be doing Virago. It's 1,000 Marks of War an hour.
Sorry to cut you off, but the it caps at 1,000.
It caps at 1,000 per hour. Okay.
Right. So it's unlikely you'll hit 1,000 an hour doing Barrows or Mole or a low tier boss.
All right.
But a boss like Hard Mode Virago gives 500 per kill. So even if you did three or four kills in an hour, you still get it's capped at 1,000.
I did hear that AFK, effectively an AFK run of Commander Zilyana for an hour was enough to reach the 1,000.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, doing God Wars for an hour will get you 1,000. And I think that's the mark we should put this at, because God Wars 1 is probably the most accessible kind of bossing out there, aside from the very entry-level ones like the Mole. So
Yeah.
I wanted to put that out there for everybody who is interested in looking at this as an update following this. We also have the auras that you could have bought for loyalty points prior to this update: Vampirism, Dark Magic, Berserker, Reckless, and Maniacal. I personally bought these because I didn't want to have to harvest the Marks of War for them. So I think I probably made the right decision out there for myself, especially because I had all the loyalty points saved up on this one. But I don't know. How do you guys feel about having auras back in game as a primary consumption method here for these?
I know I'm thrilled because Zerg auras are so important to high-end PVM that it's basically you can't. For a couple of bosses, like Telos, Araxor, Virago, Angel of Death, and a couple others, having a Zerg aura is basically a prerequisite to being able to do the fight. Right. It's like it's so...
I assume that's Berserker, right?
Yeah, Berserker, Maniacal, Reckless.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the top tier.
But having Maniacal for Mage, Zerker for Melee, or Reckless for Range for quite a few bosses is crucial.
All right.
Yeah. So that's great. It's great that it's no longer time gated.
You also got aura refreshes that you can buy for Marks of War.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
No. Check this out. Shame.
Okay.
How many boss kills do you think I have?
Mm.
Just throw a wild guess out there.
37.
37? Like, 37?
Yeah.
No, 6,287.
Wow.
Wow. Hey. What were you doing right? Back in the day?
I mean, I did some God Wars. That was like,
I guess that counts.
Yeah, God Wars KC will add up real quick.
Yeah. Okay. And so you...
A lot of kill.
And remember we were having this discussion last week about who is going to be able to unlock everything on the first day here, and this is it. You're able to do that, and you're not an avid PVMer. I don't PVM at all, and no. I had 250. So you have everything. The Adrenaline Crystal, the Altar of War, the Portal, and the Teleport.
Yeah, I couldn't find the crystal, but yeah, I had it, so it's great. And in all honesty, like, I didn't even think I could do any PVM up substance until this week.
Yeah, and that Informa article
even dived
talking
into
about
it.
is out for anybody wondering. Informa.rsbnb.com. I'll just want to talk about the comp cape requirements because, I mean, we had an in-depth discussion about these last week. I don't think we need to go over that. There's a nibble for that if anybody wants to watch our discussion on that. But there's 4 achievements and 1 meta achievement. Aura, unlock every aura in the store, relight my fire, completely upgrade the campfire, my last resort, unlock the teleport, second boss portal, the altar of war, and the adrenaline crystal, and this is the comp cape requirement. And then finally for the trimmed comp cape, you'll need the meta achievement, war, what is it good for, which you unlock after completing the previous 3. Now, we had a discussion on that last week, so I'm not going to rehash that. But the discussion that has followed and that I've been watching a bit of in the community this week is a question of, is this too good now that it's here? And
who's asking that?
Well, I mean...
Who's asking that?
I am. Sirion.
Exactly.
Amongst others.
Oh, of course. Right. Mm-hmm.
But...
Have you heard any PVMer asking that?
No, and I think now's a good point to turn to David and say what exactly happened to your friends list this week with this update.
Yeah, it like tripled. There's so many people who I haven't seen in a long time who just logged in to check out the... I'd say for people who are already maxed, the PVM hub is basically better than the max guild in every way. Obviously, there's no grand exchange access, but... The way most PVMers buy supplies is in bulk.
I just need to interrupt you on that. There was also a potion decanter there that wasn't talked about previously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was actually going to talk about that.
Okay.
So
take us through what happened to your friends list.
Like I was saying, it was just there are tons of people on it. I mean, like, I remember for a long time, there's barely been a scroll bar on my friends list. I mean, obviously there is, but in terms of people playing. And now I have to scroll and scroll and scroll because there's so many people playing who, you know, I just haven't seen in forever who logged in to check out the new update. And I know a lot of people logged in the day of the update to buy a bond just to unlock all the new stuff and to just like PVM with friends again. So I like spent a few hours doing Virago with friends who I haven't seen in 2 years. So that was pretty cool.
So there we have it. The PVM hub has brought these people back. And, you know, the question I think that people are going to be wondering, and they'll definitely be looking at inside Jagex for the metric side, is how many of these people stick around and what impact did this update have in the short, medium, and long term on bossing. And I think that will ultimately determine what makes it successful, or rather measure its success.
Well, and if you remember, Shane, just 1 week ago, I said exactly that, right? That the PVM hub would be better than the Max Guild in every way.
Yeah.
About bossing. I said it will be, by all rights, too good. But no one will think that. No one will say that. And you know what? I don't begrudge something that is quote unquote too good. I mean, yeah, it's awesome. Maybe it's too awesome. But here's the difference. It will never be touched. Ever. They wouldn't touch that thing with a 40-foot pole.
Right. Well, I mean, what could you remove from it? Nothing.
Even little tiny things are great, like the fact the bonfire gives it, like, so you don't have to dump 5 logs on it anymore.
Yeah. And the positioning of the crystal that you said?
Yeah, that's fantastic. And also, building adrenaline before a boss fight was always super obnoxious because you had to get a dummy, which works really expensive. You had, you know, every 3 weeks when I'm actively playing, I like buy another 5K green dragon hide shields and chuck them in a disassembler. And then I have to go like make tons of dummies.
Yeah.
You know, now you don't need the dummies anymore. And the adrenaline crystals boost your adrenaline to 100 way faster. So banking has never been faster. And even like the positioning of different things, like the positioning of the bank chest and the bonfire and the prayer restore, and then the fact that the portals are almost precisely, or the adrenaline crystals are like precisely one surge distance from where you teleport in. I mean, they like, it's like they thought of everything. I guess like you could make an argument it's too good. Like, I don't really see a reason to use the Max Guild anymore besides the Grand Exchange.
It's one extra like boss portal
to say, but
I found that it's one extra boss portal. I have found that. So like you can, you can tune it to something different for the meantime. So you can
But the Reaper portal is fantastic. Like I never liked having to spend money to change my portal for my Reaper assignment, but now it's just permanently there and it's free. For players who are already maxed, it's a big upgrade from the max. Well, big is a strong word, but it's a significant enough upgrade from the Max Guild where you would always use it over the Max Guild. And then for players who aren't maxed, I mean, it's wild. I mean, you basically unlock the Max Guild at level 60 combat. Like if we're being, if we're talking frankly about, that's what it is. It's a Max Guild, but better. And all you have to do is be 60 combat and you need 10 boss kills because realistically you need to unlock the portal for it to be useful.
Yeah.
Like the teleport to Warsaw, but 10 boss kills and 60 combat versus a max cape. I mean, that's not even close.
Right. Yeah. But David, what about the green dragon hide market? I mean, what about the poor people that sell their green dragon hide?
They're
not going to make anything anymore.
It feels bad, I guess.
And just for the record, Tannis is being sarcastic here.
Yeah, I know. and then... Yeah, so I've been also playing my Iron Man much more actively because of this update. The thing that deterred me from playing this account was I didn't want to do a max grind. Well, I mean, I'll get max cape eventually, but I didn't want to feel like
I couldn't do the stuff I wanted to do until I got a max cape. And so I bought a yearly subscription for my Iron Man because of this update solely for this update. Like, that's the one reason I did that. And like, I don't know how many people are doing that, but I imagine there's got to be some, because maxing on an Iron Man is kind of daunting, but getting 60 combat and 10 boss kills is not.
Huh.
And, yeah, and that's the question. Because we're comparing this to the max guild. You said it's max guild unlocked at level 60. And that's what leads to the question, is it too good?
But you've already forgotten what we're hoping this year actually does.
I know, and I've already highlighted.
It's not about something that is too good. It's about bringing up the other content to be good as well. This is the first test of that. If they can make the max guild worthwhile, then it's okay for them to go down this road. If they can't, then
that's the problem with this update. And we don't know what the max guild changes are going to look like, or if they're going to go ahead, because, you know, they're purely at an information gathering stage right now, and that's the sense I got from the live stream this week.
Yeah.
And, you know, doesn't Invention Workbench at the max guild really jack it up to a level that makes it better than this?
No, I mean, an improvement. Nice. But the things that we talked about.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think that's what they will end up having to do. I think you'll see.
But the budget isn't there for that. Delayed.
No, it'll be pushed back and delayed. I mean, look at the philosophy we saw in action this week on the live stream. They're going to come. They're going to have these bare bones and invention death, and Mod Warden's going to be like, okay, well, what else? Well, why can't we do something else? No, let's make this. No, if we're going to make it as good as War's Retreat, then we got to do something else.
Yeah.
Bring me something else.
Yeah.
Well, the potion decanting thing, they could add that to the max guild, because that's one thing that's like just a straight up advantage to War's Retreat. Because like, it's really.
We have a decanter.
Yeah, but it doesn't decant flask, so who cares?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, I don't ever decant anything.
Oh, okay.
Flask, yeah, this one can decant flasks.
Oh, it does flask?
Yeah.
You no more oobloss strips. Yeah, I know, it's so good. That's what I'm saying, is like, this update, I think that the reason I love this so much is that for the first time in a really long time, it feels like they came out with an update where they thought of everything. And that feels really good as a consumer of content. Like, all the things that I would wish for something to have, it just, like, has it. And I don't know. It just feels like it's been a while since an update has had that. And I don't know. Maybe that is too good, but I'm not complaining.
And, you know, I think that's part of the philosophy going forward that they talked about, is that there can't be dead content in games. So everything that comes out has to be better than what came previously. And, you know, there's this stigma around the Max Guild because it's Prif, and it's the Max Guild is the cherry on top of Prif that everybody would always work towards. And it's the idea that an update tailored to level 60 combat, which in itself is no problem, is obsoleting the Max Guild. That's the part that makes me keep asking this question.
But,
because I can't think of anything that you could take away from this and have it still be a good update in the mind of players.
Because it's not about taking away from someone else. It's
exactly.
About making it better for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't feel like we have to take away from the PVM community just so that, you know,
or the skillers Max community.
On the Max community, you know, feel better. Like,
yeah.
I'm still at Max. I'm at Max right now. Mixing potions, like, it's okay. You know what I mean, like, I actually am a pretty big fan of this update, and I'm not even a big PVM person.
All right, fair enough.
I think this is the test, man. And luckily the PVM community, they won't have to suffer the burden that some of the other communities have, where you hear it for years upon years of Prif's too good, man, Deviant's too good, Prif's too good. It's too good, man.
Yeah.
I've heard that. We've heard that since it came out.
We really have.
We will not hear that about War's Retreat. I'm telling you. Within a week, you'll never hear that again.
Well, I think that we haven't touched on the really great part about this update, which is that people who have a who don't have a max cape. So I think it goes in both directions. So one, PVMing with someone who isn't maxed for a lot of bosses just like wasn't good. Like I tried to be nice and stuff, but it's just
divvying up, right?
It's just really inefficient to PVM with someone without the boss portal. Whether that's duo, like the two common, like Araxor, Virago, Nex, any of the bosses that have like a bit of a run, it was just inefficient to PVM with them because you spent so much time waiting around for them to show up. And so now, and then from the other side, I think a lot of players who weren't maxed felt bad asking maxed friends to boss with them because they know that they were slowing them down. And this eliminates that entirely. Like that problem, they've taken that problem and made it disappear forever.
You feel like
that's kind of cool.
You feel like you're that friend where they're like, meet me round back. Because you always got to go to Priv Center, to, you know, to divvy up the loot and stuff because they can't make it in the
Like, yeah,
unless you go to the swap exchange down there in Varrock. Yeah, but
you know, I think you just sold me on it because that's the key point, and that's the way this update needs to be judged, not about what it does to the Max Guild. That's an entirely different discussion to have and comes back to Priv itself. So I think you've sold me and you've convinced me that, you know, it's a good update and it's not too good.
Way to go, David.
Woo! Oh, great.
Good job.
I think it's a reasonable opinion to say it's too good because it's kind of wild that they're just like max skills by.
every opinion that we say on this show is reasonable.
Fair enough. I'm just saying my attempt is not to persuade you to change your opinion. I just think that there are a lot more elements to why this update is good besides
devaluing the max skill.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And that makes sense. When you put it in the lens of an Iron Man who's level 60 combat, comparing a grind that you would need to do for max, it sells itself entirely.
Yeah. One of my friends who I've been playing a lot with just started playing Iron Man, and he told me he hasn't been this excited about an update since what Priv, which sounds kind of like an exaggeration, but just in terms of how you interact with day to day stuff, it seems like that might be the case for a lot of players.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't know that I have much else left to say on this. I think that covers this pretty good.
I'll say one more thing. Yeah, I think please we need do. A quest with it. I miss yeah. when updates like this came with yeah. a quest. That was sad to me.
Yeah.
So that's my only one like nitpick is I wish there was like a bottle quest because all the assets have already been made. Like war has already been made. I don't know. It just seems like it would have been perfect.
You know, I got a bone to pick with war, though. That should be Bandos. That should be Bandos standing there. Should be the god of war.
But he's dead.
Like, all this killing bods.
He's
bods
dead.
Are gods.
Maybe there's a quest where you resurrect
Bandos. Something, man. You know, like war is a cheap knockoff of Bandos. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, let's go to the second update of the week, the Winter Chill-Off. And, you know, this is one of those community gather-round events in the Lumbridge Crater running until February 3rd. This time we're voting for the most popular skills, but, you know, it is always as an exercise when it comes to the RS community of choosing the least popular skill, as we learned last summer. So
this one is to do the cheapest, like...
Yeah, finding the cheapest.
I mean, this is the most benefit. It's a different category.
So starting off, fire making was eliminated first, then fletching, then divination, then slayer, then agility, presumably, and then finally Herblar is bringing up first with 30,000 points ahead. I think that Herblar has this one in the bag.
Yeah. But I mean, it's the best value, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Free Herblore, thank you.
And what did we say it was at 120? Herblore like 250k an hour AFK, basically.
Well, I think that's not totally AFK. That's only if you have the chill tokens, you get AFK. But otherwise, you have to switch every however many seconds, maybe 30 seconds or so, because like there's the active one, right?
It's like a Rocketunities type deal, right? Like
yes,
exactly. Yeah, it's the same exact mechanic. Yeah, they reused the asset from the like yellow sparkly stuff.
Yeah, they just made it a little bit wintry in this case, and what you get with this one is you get a winter version of the Blight Reaver staff and a Mourn Pet, mini Mourn Pet, as well as any rewards that you might have missed in the summer one. So,
what the hell is a Mourn?
He's a character on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Oh, I've never watched that one.
Yeah, you really should. You really should. But aside from that, not much to report on this, just a fun little community event to see which skill is most popular. And, you know, it's Herblore because people always want their cheap Herblore XP.
Yeah, dude.
I would have thought Firemaking would have come higher because Firemaking is just burning money.
But herbs are so expensive. Super potions are... Oh, my God. Dude, it's rough out there,
I'm rubbing my hands together for this double XP weekend that's coming up.
I'm sure you are.
Alrighty. Let's move on to the patch notes then for this week. And there's actually a really special patch note in here that we'll talk about. So starting off, combat changes-wise, keybinds for the action button trigger, such as the one used for placing a Blessing of Nature to phase into the Mind of Solak, will no longer trigger while chat is in focus. Also, the cleaners have cleaned up the remnants of the Yak Track event in Berthorp, and players no longer disappear halfway through the Heffen rope slide animation. And they said a number of abilities and items were causing player movement to visually stall on use, and these have now been fixed. And the whole goal of this is to make combat feel smoother. And the items that are in question are Dominion Gloves, the Staff of Sliskay, ranged abilities, God Staff special attacks, and when sharing damage via Soul Link, this is all times where the animations would stall. And I mean, I can imagine that must be disjointed when you're doing combat, so that's good those have been fixed. Using Bladed Dive on an NPC no longer changes their name to, quote, tap to find a target or change their combat level to NA. A kill timer is now available at the Calphite Queen and Corporeal Beast. It didn't exist previously, which is a bit odd. Yeah, and I mean, Calphite Queen definitely is one of the very early bosses that you would take down. So, it's all about providing that unified experience, I say. Closing certain chat-based input dialogues no longer causes clicks to be sometimes ignored where the dialogue used to be. Ice spells in the ancient spellbook now have descriptions that match their effects. Expanded drop-down menus in the World Hop interface now hide correctly when settings are closed. Retrieving runes from the large yellow rune pouch no longer equips the item from within the bank interface. Yeah, that's a bit of an odd one. And you see, all these things are just hanging off from the bank update.
So weird.
Portal Attune interface has been updated. Legacy combat users will no longer be able to see creatures walking about with zero hit points. Who uses Legacy in this day and age, I wonder?
It's pretty good for revenant killing. Legacy, killing revenants in Legacy and full Derox is one of the best ways to do that.
Oh,
that's random.
Okay.
You need one, probably.
Also, I usually do, when I do Dagonoth Kings, I use Legacy.
All right, fair enough. Wait, you use Legacy mode?
For Dagonoth Kings, yeah. It's really good.
Interesting. I would have thought you'd always want to go and press all the buttons and do it manually.
Full manual is probably a little bit better, but I think at DKs in particular, Legacy is better than Revo++, and I don't really want to pay that much attention to Dagonoth Kings.
All right, fair enough.
I want to like watch a movie or like do work or like literally cook food or anything besides paying attention.
Okay. On the quest side, during the Great Brain Robbery quest, Dr. Frankenstrain will no longer take all your hammers, and he'll only take one hammer. Iron Man will now return to the entrance of the Calphite Queen's lair upon exiting the Do No Evil cutscene, located in the same area. And are you guys ready for this one? Instead of joining an open instance. So you could be doing Do No Evil, and then, oh, lo and behold, you're going to get thrown into a Calphite Queen fight.
Oh. That's no good.
Weird. It's just so weird seeing so some of these weird things, you know?
Who reported
Wait, Do No Evil is the monkey quest, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why is that throwing you into the...
Because it's it takes part of it takes place in the desert.
Oh, that's true. You got monkey eyes, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, get that.
Yep. Annoying.
Good
part.
Times. Good times.
Frost dragons will now consistently work towards both dragon cluster tasks and the creatures of Daemonheim cluster tasks assigned from Lanakea. I had no idea that they would count as creatures of Daemonheim.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, but they've never counted for any Slayer before, so
okay,
that's kind of right. Cool.
Yeah, it's good to have those as dragons then. Free-to-play players retrieving members' items from death will not be told to partially empty their bank.
For free-to-play player.
Yeah. Adamant dragons were incorrectly giving too many inert adrenaline crystals, and this has now been reduced to its intended amount. An issue where logging into free-to-play would sometimes switch your currently selected action bar has been fixed. Brawling gloves are no longer shown on the item saved on death list when entering the wilderness. The charming imp can now place collected spirit gems directly into the spirit gem bag.
Where do we get the spirit gem bag?
That's a good question. I know I've heard of it. Let me have a look on that. Because remember we had this discussion last week about spirit gems not being able to stack and taking up spot.
I know we had a spirit gem bag.
Interface. You get it for 360 Thaler from the Thaler shop. Stanley Limelight Traders.
Was initially
was added back in October of 2016. Interesting for patch week. Yeah. So it's just a Thaler item.
I just need to wait till that gets to like Soul War or something like that. Yeah.
Now here's a really special patch note here. Previously there was an issue where players who lost their eggs would not be able to prestige their aquarium. Those who experience this bug will find the fish in their tank and do not need to reacquire the egg. And the issue with this comes from having an issue where players could lose the POH aquarium eggs and not be able to prestige their aquariums. And with this, POH aquarium eggs will also no longer be lost on death. And the story about this one is that in the live stream this week, Mod Warden said he received an email on the Wednesday or the Thursday of last week, right? So not even a week ago at this point of recording. And he brought it to the appropriate team. He said he was working late in the office at one night, and he had a couple people take a look at it. And the same evening when he got that email and they had a look at this, the fix had been checked in. And a day and a half later, it was put into the release candidate build to come out this coming Monday. And lo and behold, here's this patch for something that had been an issue for about 18 months or so. Or longer.
And that's what leadership can do, right?
Because, sure, we could have reported something like this using the in-game bug report feature, but that requires someone to go test it. But when you have the eyes of an executive producer running in to actually look at a bug like this, it effectively moves it to the front of the line. And we really haven't had a front-end channel like that that's been able to step forward and make these kind of things happen on RuneScape ever.
No, it was pretty awesome.
And granted, it's just two little patch notes here, but This was a story that was told on the live stream this week. We wouldn't known anything else if, you know, if you didn't say anything on the live stream this week, because we would have thought it was one of the, you know, hey, a standard report, fix bug kind of things. But no, lo and behold, this one was actually expedited and moved to the front of the queue. Because, you know, I don't have any idea how many times a day the report feature is used, but everything that needs to go through the report feature needs to be validated, need to figure out what exactly the problem is, and then go through some process. So it takes a long time, unless it's a major issue. So huge props to Mod Warden and the JMods who were working late that evening that fixed this and got this patch out within a week.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
And I'm sure it was frustrating for people that are trying to prestige an aquarium.
I mean, yeah. No. All right. And finally, last patch note of the week fixed an issue where the prize pool for Gone Yak tracking would not be refreshed from the various promo. And of course, that is the Glass Case Treasure Hunter promo that's been happening somewhat frequently. So, all right. Patch notes. And I'm glad we were able to end with that one, because that just, I think, speaks volumes about some of the changes that are happening internally.
Seems like you're really happy with Mod Warden so far.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Because I listen to your show pretty regularly, and it seems like most episodes there's something, a change that comes from him that you're excited.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, it's a different kind of leadership style, I think. But we'll talk more about that in the live stream, because it was on display there, too.
Yeah.
But before that, Double XP Weekend is back, starting on February 21st for 10 days, and it's up to 48 hours this time from 36.
A real weekend. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
See, I don't mind calling it Double XP Weekend, because we get a weekend.
Right, but it, I mean, when 1% of the people only really used more than 36 hours previously.
So, what? Why shouldn't people have the other hours?
I didn't say that. What I'm going to say now is that this is one of those updates. And, you know, I think the people who listen to the podcast will be a little bit wiser for this. This is one of those updates where you can use it effectively to build political capital, if you will. Because the metrics say you don't need more than 36 hours. But the very fact that, as you said, a weekend is 48 hours, and now that's what we have, it effectively makes the entire community base feel a whole lot better, too,
about this. Well, and why is it that it seems to me that we keep running into this feeling that it's a zero-sum game? That if the players get something they want, then someone
explain what a zero-sum game is to our listeners, please.
Well, it's a winner-take-all. It's okay. Like, if you win, then someone else definitionally has to have lost. And I don't really think it's like that. I don't really agree with that.
Well, you see what the problem is that's what the world sees things as in this day and age. It's always us versus them. There's always a winner and a loser.
I think we all win with this. Like, it doesn't hurt anyone that doesn't want to use it, and it helps people that do. It doesn't affect your score. It doesn't affect how you have to play.
Yeah.
So, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand the animosity that's like, ugh. You only need 36 hours.
I want 48. That's what the metrics say. But I'm going to say it is good to have 48 hours, because you and I have talked about many times in the past that a lot of the most important stuff that happens isn't stuff that's necessarily said. It's things that are done.
Yeah.
And just the players internalize. And this is one of those.
Well, and there's no downside. Like, it doesn't cost.
Because you could get 72 before if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? How many people were doing that?
I did that once. I did that one time when I was going for my max cape. I got like 7 or 8 99.
See, and I bet you, and you have a story too, right? I bet you still talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. It was a friend and I were playing RS at the time, and we bought like an unhealthy amount of Red Bull, and we put on like what did we put on, like Futurama or something, and we stayed at my house and played 72 hours straight.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Sadly, that era of DXP is probably gone. Unless, you know, you just...
Oh, not, it's not sad.
Well, I mean, still, you can still organize,
no,
you know.
Never, no one should ever do that.
But it was... But those kinds of stories, I think, will become a thing of the past. And that's, like, I'm cool with that. Things change. The one thing that I'm most sad about, though, with this Double XP weekend is there doesn't seem to be any ties with Game Blast. At
well,
least
that could still
point.
Be announced.
Yeah, I mean, that could still
and
be announced.
We should chase that up.
Yeah. So, yeah, that, I mean, that was the only bummer part to me. But, yeah, it's like it doesn't cost anything. There's no downside to doing this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to get watched, Shane. You're going to get a message from me showing my clock probably on Tuesday with 4 hours left.
Okay.
Because I'm going hard this time.
All right, fair enough.
I ain't messing around like I did. Like, I'm going hard, dude. As hard as I can.
All right. And I want to talk to you about what skilling competitions we should run for that too, but that can be a topic for later on right that. On. I also think that, you know, like I said with this, it's not about what you say. It's about the way players perceive it. And this is a very cheap thing to do internally. And like you said, nobody loses from this. It does, of course, play into the XP culture. But at that point in time, I mean, if you're having a situation in-game that is perhaps looking a little bit negative on the PR side, you can have this double XP weekend leading into something with that. And that solves a good number of problems.
And, you know, you mentioned the XP culture, but, you know, more and more this game is a reflection of just people. And there is all these different kinds of cultures and bubbles, right? I mean, there's a PVM culture. There's an XP culture. There's a quester cult. You know what I mean? Like, it's all those things, and, you know, who's to say anyone's better or worse, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I'm even being nice to the PVM community, and, like, that's my favorite group to try to pick on just because they pick on everybody. And I can't even do that anymore because I've had so much damn fun this week with their update.
Someone's got a clip show that or something.
Yeah, sure. I'll make a note of that. Because at the end of the day, everybody is just a RuneScape player, right?
Yeah. But,
and we can have that discussion at another time about what do we do after 200 mil. Because, you know, we're all heading there, right?
Yeah.
And the game is just getting faster over time, and everybody knows that. And adding an extra 12 hours on Double XP Weekend really isn't going to make that much of a difference to the majority of players out there. It might make a bit of a difference for some, but not for the majority on that.
No, and, you know, I think at some point we're probably going, as a community, to need to have a discussion about
what happens next.
How much content, how much hours do you expect out of one skill?
Yeah.
You know, I know there was things circulating in the community this week that, you know, has some jaws dropping, and I'm going, my jaw ain't dropping, because I'm very familiar with how other games work, and we have 28 skills.
Yeah. And the journey for those other games is supposed to start after you max and reach endgame. And, you know, going back to the monthly bits, it's what is RuneScape's endgame?
Yes. You fix
that's
that.
Not defined.
You fix everything.
Exactly.
You know?
I'm going to write up that idea about the prestiging at the Max Guild, thinking about it now. I didn't write it up last week. I'm going to write it up now. And I'll write it up in such a way that no new assets need to be done, aside from maybe a chest and an artifact.
Man, that'd be cool. I want to see it.
Yeah, okay.
Because that would be cool.
I'll put my full designer hat on. All right, so let's move on to the live stream for this week because, oh boy, it was a big one. We had on the couch this week Mod Cam, Mod Osborne, and Mod Warden with Mod Porky hosting. So let's just start off with what was, I guess, some of the simpler things, and that was the fact that on Monday, which is going to be February 3rd, the changes to the mining and smithing skills are coming that are designed to make stone spirits more valuable. So they did this with the recap to AFK mining right now, that if you're mining with zero stamina, you still do 80% damage to a rock. But with the changes coming in, you only do 20%. And the idea behind this is lower XP and the amount of ores coming in with AFK mining. But you can use a stone spirit to get double ore, as well as combining that with a perfect juju mining potion, you will automatically recharge your stamina when you use a stone spirit.
But what I don't understand about that is how is that – so you'll be equivalently doing the same amount – like you're getting the same amount of ore, but how are you getting the same amount of XP? Because the ore is coming in through the stone spirits, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what they want, is that you will be getting the same amount of XP if you're using those stone spirits, because they're going to recharge your stamina.
Okay. I was trying to figure out how that works.
So what's going to happen is that you're going to mine. You're going to do a couple clicks on the rock. You might get down to, I don't know, maybe 75% stamina or something to that effect. Then when you get your rock, you're going to use that stone spirit, and then bam, you'll be brought back up to 100 stamina. So the idea behind this is that people are going to use stone spirits not only for the extra ore, but also for the stamina recharge, if they want to AFK mine something that's not Saren stones.
Or otherwise. Now, the alternative to that is to click, correct?
Correct.
See, I want to say something that you're not going to believe, Shane.
Okay.
I don't mind this nerf.
No.
And I don't mind this nerf,
and
because
it's a nerf
the way
that's
it was
done
supposed
right
to be to begin with.
Exactly. It was the way it was initially supposed to be, and it doesn't feel like a nerf because they're attacking it from both sides, in that you're getting something extra, but there's a way to combat it if you want as well, and that's the stone spirit.
Well, I've always been an advocate for a passive way to play and an active way to play.
Right.
And that was what mining was supposed to have. Now, you know,
and Saren stones are going to be lit again with this. Sorry, I just used that word.
Shane. Look at Shane. Yeah, it's going to be off the hook.
I don't know. David's probably the youngest one here. So, how are we doing with that?
Great.
Are we woke, man?
Yeah, could it be more woke?
All right, continue.
Where are we at?
I don't know. Saren stones for AFK mining.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, I've always been an advocate of, you know, having the active and passive gameplay. So this, I really don't mind. I feel like this is kind of what we were sold to begin with. I mean, this was part of it. Like, stamina was always a part of it until actually release, and then it didn't matter for some reason. And I never did understand why that was, like, not done. So this really doesn't bother me really at all. I'll be honest. I don't think it's going to do shit for stone spirits. It ain't going to matter. They're going to eventually come to the conclusion that was just a bad idea.
And, I don't think it's necessarily because of the way it's structured. I just think it's because of the way players see stone spirits after a year. They're not going to be able to get the negative opinion of them out of their head.
You can get the negative opinion out of your head, but you're not going to be able to get the price up.
Yeah.
Unless they just do what I advocate for and regulate the character market. But, well, I mean, seriously, this is the one market you could regulate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's make-believe. Fix it.
Yeah.
Can't do that in real life. Can't go up to the New York Stock Exchange and be like, hey, take some of them bonds out. Thank you. Good to go. You could do that here.
Yeah. And on the mining or on the smithing side, each bar that goes into an item will be worth 4 invention components if you break it down. And this gives you something like having 480 from an Elder Rune plate body.
So I want to ask David, being an Iron Man, because this has been something that the Iron Man have really talked about and brought up. Is this?
Yeah.
Is that
this
enough?
This is going to be huge. So I don't know enough about high end invention. I unlocked invention about a week ago. And it is such a nightmare getting components. Every time I want an augmenter, I have to go do a gargoyles task. So then I could go to the Varrock sword shop and like buy out all the swords and disassemble them all. Cause I'm like too low level to do real PVM. So yeah, getting components is really, really hard on an Iron Man. It's super tedious, takes forever.
That sounds rough. I was just wondering, like, if this is going to need to be buffed in the end, or if it's actually going to be enough. Because
I think it seems pretty good to me. I think it's fine. Like Iron Man is supposed to be hard, so it's fine if it's still challenging. It just shouldn't be like a total nightmare. And I think this okay. I think this is a good balance.
Good deal.
All right, and we'll of course get our hands on it on Monday. So just a bit of a preview. On that, after that, they went into general Q&A, talking about is something of success defined ultimately based on engagement, and you know this is because of that soundbite, as Mod Cam said, that came from last week's stream about the treasure hunter keys, and he says it comes down to reach, how many people participate, how many who use daily keys or the free currencies to buy, and of course who's actually spending real money on it. And it's done in a granular way so they can look at it from either perspective, as in how are the people who are using free daily keys doing it, how are the people using free currencies doing it, and how are those who are actually spending real money engaging with the content as well. And Mod Osborne said that Jagex would be diluting themselves if it was based purely on free key usage. And, I mean, we said this last week, and
yeah.
This is the community echo chamber at large just right. Coming down on the point.
Right.
And well, hopefully this is enough to dispel it.
Right. And I thought, like, okay, like, I see where he was coming from, like, with the way he answered. But you can't call an answer a soundbite. Like, it was more than a soundbite. It was an answer to a question that wasn't a particularly good answer.
Well, it was a soundbite because it became, because that one section became very popular. And that defined the entire discussion of it.
But there wasn't any like context around it. Like that was the like heart of what he was saying. Like that.
Yeah.
You didn't get the context till this week.
Yeah.
Like.
And
you know what I mean? Like,
that should have been provided last week, I think. But.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mod Warden chimes in and he says sentiment is the first litmus test to see how players feels, and this happens with things even like the double XP weekends. Check mark. How is the approach they're using for microtransactions different now than October? The speed of changes that they're doing have increased. They want to keep addressing RNG elements, and in particular, that's going to be the primary thing going forward. Transparency is also important, and they wanted to emphasize this literally with the glass case promo. But player choice is also very important to them, and they are working to completely remove blind chance to the point where they're going to actually be allowing people to make their own treasure hunter reward chest. Somehow in March.
Yeah, I mean, we're so far it still looks like we're on the right road, and that's what we're talking
about.
We're
on the right track with this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a bit of a discussion about Ring of Shards last week. I enjoyed it. You said it was still gambling. They said internally the metrics have said Ring of Shards is doing well as well. So
yeah. Well, it's better. I mean, there's still an element of RNG, and I think we're heading towards getting rid of that element. But, I mean, yeah, it's a baby step. No. I actually used my free keys this week, and it was nice to be like, oh, yeah, no, thank you. I don't want no paper. Give me that star.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, it is nice. But let's just get rid of that. Let me buy the star.
Yeah, sure. They said Yak Track was super popular. We'll definitely be doing more of them. And the glass cases will be done again, as will Ring of Shards. And then comes to the point where I mentioned they want to do the one that will effectively allow people to build your own chest reward. I want to see how that's going to go, right? Because if you're choosing your rewards, can you really complain if you spend money on it?
No, see, that's cool because you're picking everything that could come up. So everything that could come up was something you picked. So that's less RNG and more like shuffle a playlist. You know, like I know what I put in my grocery bag. I'm good. You know, I didn't put anything in there I don't like.
They also made a point of saying this week that if you click view probabilities, you can see all the probabilities for the various gems now on the treasure hunter screen.
Okay.
Of getting them. And everything new that they do with Treasure Hunter will have choice and transparency to it, and they want to add this choice to the older promos where it's applicable. Rare item token reward store rework is in the works. And when it comes to Vic the Trader, they say he comes around once a year or twice a year or so, and with that, they want to make it so that it's actually once a quarter.
Yeah, and really, if you've used the trader a lot, I mean,
it's invaluable, especially with double XP weekend coming up.
It is, but I mean, remember, like, your exchange rate sucks. Like, I mean, this is literally the yuan to the dollar, or whatever currency you want to throw in there. Like, it's not real good, but I mean, yeah, it's better than nothing.
But Soda is having like 100,000 bonus XP in a skill you
yes.
can mill in. Like, that's even worse.
Exactly. That. Yes, that is when it counts. Exactly. Yeah.
A question was asked about iOS, the iOS beta. He said it's on the way. Mod Warden said it's on the way. It needs to be done in the right way, and Apple is very restrictive in their beta program. Of course, we've detailed all of this before. From the sounds of it, they said a few months until an iOS beta. I think that's about where we thought it would be.
Yeah, I want to know what the numbers are, because he said that they limit the numbers. And
I believe it's 10,000.
Oh,
let me just have a double check that. iOS test flight limitation. iOS test flight limits. Because it's the same whether you're Apple or if you're Microsoft or if you're Jagex doing this. Test flight is 10,000. You can have up to 10,000 external testers now with test flight.
Boy, if that came through, I could see it now. We'll all be fighting over the iPad. It's my turn. I want to watch a show. I want to play RuneScape.
Let's see. And, you know, Mod Warden is just answering these questions in from the chat because they have the chat up on a screen, and that's where the iOS question came from, and he wanted to deal with that. Another one that came up right away was about the Duel Arena. And, you know, he said that he has his eye on the Duel Arena and wants to do something with it. And it's part of the duty of care plan because, you know, the Duel Arena is, of course, used or was used for staking. I don't know if people still do staking. At the RS3 duel, right?
And people still quit.
People still do tons of staking. Yeah.
Right, and you can see why it comes into duty of care then with that.
Yeah. I don't know how you're going to fix staking, that, though. I mean,
staking really messed up my life for a little while. It was really bad for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heard. I hear that a lot.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible for me. It was really. It was like one of the worst phases of my life. Was when I was addicted to the duel arena.
Yikes. How much money did you lose?
All of it. Lost all of it at one point or another.
At one point I got up to about 110 bill. And I lost all of it.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Yikes.
But like I've been cleaned at least half a dozen times. Once I PVM'd to a 15 bill loot tab, and I sold everything, and I got cleaned and lost all of it. It was pretty bad.
So you can see why duty of care with the duel arena is important.
Yeah, I wish it didn't exist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the Q&A then turned to archaeology, and, you know, the idea with this is that they're not at the place yet to talk about all the updates of 2020, but archaeology is still on the list. God Wars Dungeon 3 with the Elder Gods is still on the list, but they're not at a point where they're ready to present a 2020 roadmap yet. But the one thing they did want to make clear is that archaeology will not come in the second half of the year. It will definitely be in the first half of the year very soon.
And it sounds very optimistic, like they're making sure that it's right. And I mean, it was even said that they've never been given an opportunity to really set back and really make sure everything was right. And I thought that was just great.
Yeah, like, I got the exact quote on that here from Mod Osborne. He said that we've never really had the luxury of a position that Mod Warden has offered us, which is to get archaeology right, doing longevity testing, making sure it feels alive from an art perspective, and it's made the content so much better. And what longevity testing is looking forward into the future to see any of the changes that might need to be made in the future and seeing which of those can be implemented in launch. And they're coming close to their go or no-go decision date. So from the sounds of it, things do sound very optimistic in terms of what's happening with this. And, you know, it comes down to the fact that internally they have a release date. They're testing it. They're collating that feedback. And the go or no-go decision will be, is that release date that has been set still good, and are they still set for it to go? So that's what a go no go decision. It's not, you know, should we launch archaeology or should we scrap the thing?
Yeah. Well, and I think no matter when we get it, the one thing I am absolutely for sure of now is that it's going to be good. Like, it'll be worth doing. Like, I really think that. And I mean, it's been a while since I've seen people you know, at Jagex, like in the studio, like enjoying playing the game, like playing some of the content. And they really seem to be hyped up about this. Like the guy last week said he came in on Saturday to play.
Shogun
on his own time, you know, like, yeah, I mean, so, that was so that's cool, kind of cool, man. You know? Yeah.
I think that one of the community sentiments that has been, you know, maybe a little bit overstated and toxic, but sometimes feels true, is that sometimes it feels like the mods don't play the game that they're designing content for. And obviously that's wrong, but people say it all the time. So I think it's really cool that they're going out of their way to play the content all the way through. Because Adventions certainly did not feel like anyone had played through it.
Oh no, it took a year and a half to get that one right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1500% first week.
Boom! And, you know, with this, they also said that more time is being allocated to archaeology for any skill post-launch before. So that's good.
I'm really happy with the direction things are going in.
Yeah, I agree.
It's looking. I mean, there's going to be some, like, come to Jesus moments this year that we're going to have to, like, deal with, but it's so good. It's all going to be good in the long run.
And, you know, Mod Warren said he also learned about the weather plan that, you know, that people talked about at RuneFest 2016, and he just learned about that recently. And he got interested in that. So, I mean, there's all these things coming up from the past that he's just learning about on that.
Mod Warren was like, no! We've promised all kinds of stuff. Don't go down that road.
I hope my warden finds bank bidders. Maybe he'll bring us bank bidders.
You better give me an altar because people need to start bowing down to my
church. Oh, yeah. Church of you was also mentioned in the live stream.
Church of you, bank bidders, and weather. Those are the big three updates of the year.
But with this, you know, they came to the 2020 roadmap and what the future is going to look like. And in particular, answering the question for the players of what exactly is an executive producer, Mod Warden, and what is a lead designer, Mod Osborne, and how do you mesh these two together? And, you know, the problem as to why we're seeing no year ahead post is that with this, Mod Warden got in late in 2019, so he is putting his impact on 2020, and that's what the delay is, or so they say, in that front. And they're effectively right now mapping out all the different quarters, finding out where there could be cases of overcommitting and underdelivering. And what they ultimately want to do with this is take the RuneScape team to a position where they have a leadership team that can work really well with them. And, you know, with this, in previous years, we would have seen a roadmap announced at the end of December. But what Mod Warden has effectively brought to the company, they say, is a sense that they need to make sure that whatever is on this list can be done and be done well.
Mm-hmm. See, and I'm really, really like this leadership and his style. And here's the thing. And when I alluded to a come to Jesus moment, it will be less frequency. Like, that was what I read between the lines. But it's going to be better. It's going to be more meaningful. It's going to be done right. And that's all I can ask. Like, really. That's all I want.
Yeah, and you know, he shares my same life philosophy that, you know, you shouldn't ship something unless it's actually good. With this, right?
Yeah.
Get it out absolutely. When it's ready. Simple.
Absolutely.
So that's, I mean, and I don't know. I think we're also in a position where the player base feels that, you know, there's no updates and they're getting a little bit worried because of, you know, the drought we had with Anachronia. And they're seeing similar things kind of shape up here too, with having nothing announced.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is a very different situation because we've had this change in leadership, and then you had this change in the structuring of the teams. Now we're getting the plan together, but we're not going to tell you what the plan is because we need to get it together first. Okay, that's fair. It's just that I think the players feel that way because they've been let down so many times in the past, you know, and that's why I've been paying real close attention to like what they're saying in these live streams. And to me, it sounds like he's very well aware of that. And that's not going to happen this time. Like, I really don't think he's going to let them.
Yeah, and that's precisely what Mod Osborne said. He said he wants there to be fewer chances of a comp cape rework kind of thing, or a weapon diversity kind of thing this year.
And when I heard that, I thought, awesome. Like, yeah, good. Like, that is good.
And this is what we have been saying for years, too, is that perhaps we shouldn't hear about updates until they're ready to be content showcased, unless they want the players to have a hand in designing them.
Well, and I think you can pull certain ideas. I think you can pull as for, like, priority basis or this or that, what people would rather have over something else.
Yeah, this is the early service.
But then it stops there. Like, then let them do their job after that. Like, you can pull the sentiment of people, but don't ask me what clans should be in Priv. That's your job. You know what I mean? Like, talk to the lore people. Figure it out. I don't know. Don't ask me. Because when you ask me, you're going to get a waterfall. I love that waterfall, but it don't belong there. But I love it.
Yeah.
Because you asked me.
Exactly.
You know?
They're also working to bring content cadence and how the game is commercialized and unify these two things with actual content updates so that there's a branding strategy that will effectively merge and meld all together. And, you know, I've been saying this for years. This is RuneScape 3. And there's a question to be had about, you know, what's too good to fit into that bucket or anything like that, or what kind of updates fit in there. But I still believe that that should be, in general, the overarching goal of 2020 with the updates we saw last year that were hits and some in 2018 as well.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, They're going through a sizing exercise, effectively determining what kind of t-shirt size everything is to determine where overcommitting or under-delivering is happening with this, and they want to get this into a form that can be discussed within the company and the various teams, and then they'll get it a thumbs up or thumbs down from that internally, and then following from that, they'll bring it to the player base.
I'm glad they described that because, you know, I don't know how many of – we might have a higher percentage of people that are familiar with development language, but I was freaking clueless. I'm like, t-shirt size, what? Are we getting t-shirts?
Yeah, that was, a new one for me.
Like, I was glad they explained that because I
yeah, it's
know.
Effectively just setting the size of the content from extra small all the way up to extra large. And allocating resources for it. So, let's see. The quest team was asked about, and you know, this came back to Mod Warden that he needs to put his imprint over everything that's happening this year. But all the big things mentioned at RuneFest will still happen. So, like Desperate Measures, Archaeology, the Elder God Wars dungeon, and managing Miscellanea, just to name a few. The rework of that. And with this, there will be no February month ahead, and they just want more breathing room to get everything in place.
You know, and that's something I've been saying, too. Like, I don't – the month ahead is it's fine, but, I mean, I don't know if we really need that much. It's what we've been getting in the recent past with live streams and videos and, you know.
I really like it when they show us content that's almost completed.
Yeah, the content showcases.
That's what I like.
Is that what they call them, Shane?
Content showcases. Yeah.
Those ones are.
Yeah, between showcases and Q&As, I would be. That's really all I need, right? Yeah, we'd be set. Totally. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Moving on. Quality of life will be a huge part of the 2020 story. It's going to be a massive focus, empowering teams to be in a position where they can put a smile on players' faces, and that's exactly what the patch note was we talked about earlier. And, you know, this went into Mod Warden's emails, how he's received hundreds of them, some of them 12-plus paragraphs long. He takes the pertinent information out, puts it into notes, and sends it off to the relevant people. So... working exactly as intended. Then, you know, other questions, reducing the number of worlds. What do you guys feel about that?
I'm so awfully against it. Let me tell you about people that want to cut down the worlds. You know what they are? I can tell you exactly what they believe in. Less XP, and 2008 RuneScape. They're stuck in 2008. They think that the social thing is important. And let me tell you, it's not. If you want to hang out with your friends, you will get a hold of your friends.
And you will have a home world.
And you will have a home world.
And see, this is what Mod Porky said. He said playing on his account, he is still able to talk to people while skilling. It's not completely deserted as some people make it out to be.
It doesn't matter anyway. I don't want to talk to some rando, okay? I don't. Because it's just like life, guys. I don't. So, I mean, I look over, there's a clan chat if I want to participate. Like, because 9 times out of 10, random conversations, I mean, yeah, they can be good, but if you spend your time like places I do, like portables or something, no. No. I turn the local off. I don't even want to see it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see it, actually.
Janus is too good for us masses.
You know?
Mod Warden said the decision made will be the one that gives the best player experience.
But I bet you, Shane, you could put all those things in the spreadsheet and find exactly the people that want to cut the world down. I'm telling you, it's the same people.
Yeah. That makes sense. Design decisions about new Slayer creatures, they admit 99 to 120 is still isn't as filled out as they'd like. They probably should have done 120 Slayer differently.
You know, that one's sad.
Strong agree.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's sad because that was such a crowd fan favorite. You know, like that's one I wish had been done, right?
Yeah, that was big sad.
Yeah.
It could have been really cool. Well,
love the dungeon. I'll you know, but that's really the best part that came out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it could have been so many more creatures that weren't just the dinos.
And we could have had different steps. Like each level could have been a little bit. It just could have been done a little bit different. I don't want to crap on it because I you know, it's still Slayer. I still like it. You know, it's kind of like Star Trek and Star Wars. You know, people be like, well, new stuff isn't as good. Well, it's yeah, but it's still good.
Like, it's kind of funny because the thing I wish it had been is probably what most people would have hated. Like my hope
probably
was
want
that,
mini bosses, right?
Yeah. My hope was that every task from 100 to 120 was going to be like rippers and living wyverns and mammoths.
See those should have been like 120 right there. Just rescale those things up to 120. res.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I like high intense Slayer with really really high XP. So like my favorite task is Ripper Demons because I cannon them, and I think that's really cool.
You cannon? What?
Yeah. Well, technically I use an old act coil, but yes,
that's not even.
It's really intense. Sometimes I die, but normally I don't die. And a task takes like 7 minutes doing the cannon way, and it comes out to be like 1.5 mil Slayer XP an hour.
How are you not mobbed? Like
I do get mobbed.
But I mean, but you know, with the death mechanic like that. Like how are you not getting jumped on?
You just wear full acto for all the defensive resets and just rotate devotion, barricade, reflect, and hope for the best.
Okay.
Yeah, so you run around in a circle and AoE them with like Dragon Breath Chain, etc., and Oldak Coil. And you just alternate devotion, which blocks all the damage, and barricade, and then when neither of those are available, you reflect and hope for the best. And obviously use revenge, like the revenge ability that builds up to 10 stacks, and then you do a ton of damage with shield. You get to 10 stacks instantly because so many things are attacking you. Mm-hmm. So you could do you kill them super fast. It's like 8 minutes for the average task, I would say.
That sounds intense.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of fun though.
Well, I don't know how we got talking about Slayer. All right, Q&A question. Limited time game modes was also asked about, and the answer to this was possibly in terms of possibly bringing back a seasonal Darkscape. Modern Warden found it very fascinating. And it might not be as big of a job as they thought it could be, though there's nothing currently active planned for it.
How hyped? Come on, Shane, how excited? Darkscape!
They could scratch the PvP itch with this.
Darkscape was cool. Like, and I've recently just got turned on to a game that reminded me so much of Darkscape. You ever heard of Albion?
No.
Well, it kind of works. Like, it has different banks and different degrees of like PvP areas. Like it's just like how Darkscape was set up. It was like, wow, that's cool. And a total seasonal, man, that'd be fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like
I enjoyed
the crap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I suck. But it was fun.
Yeah, and it was a good way of, you know, experiencing the full game without paying because everybody got access to the entire thing. Members just got more XP.
Yeah, I mean, I think seasonally is the best way because once people get up there, it kind of sucks because you have no chance. Like, if you get a few people that have really got their stuff together and really high level, you know, you don't have a prayer. So I think having that timed would be the solution to that.
Yeah, I agree. Then the last two were about activity pets. They're at the concept stage and will be sent out to the third-party studio, and they'll release them either when they want to or if there's a lull in content. And if a dev asks a question on Twitter, it's not meant to be something that's acting like a formal poll. It's probably just a conversation starter to break the ice. and the roadmaps are built from pulling from all sources. And if they're going to pull something official, it'll be posted on the website and in the in-game poll center. So
yeah, I mean, what was that, just me, or did that feel kind of self-explanatory?
Yeah, it did. Like,
I never would have taken it that way.
I think there's many players out there who haven't been around the community for as long as we have, and you know, seeing a dev talk about something kind of just has an aura of certainty in it. Where
not a Jagex.
Exactly. And that's something everybody should know, is that yeah. you're chatting with them just as if they're normal people.
Yeah.
So but that's a live stream for this week. Consequential, I'd say, and I think it just reaffirms everything that we've said going into 2020 with this. So
yeah, no, I feel good about 2020, and there's been a couple really, really good live streams, you know, back to back. So
yeah,
happy.
I agree. All right, well, let's move on to our tech news. But first, before we do that, I just want to thank our wonderful Patreon supporters for this episode. You know, we wouldn't be able to do what we do here without you guys. So thank you so much. And this week, I'd like to thank Brock H, Cameron, Cass, Christian S, Darren L, Diana, Jason S, Joe M, John P, Kyle, Rastafa, Rippeth, Seth W, The Naked Captain, Tom V, and Zez. Thank you all of you for your support. It truly does mean the world to us. And if you want to know more about this, just head on over to patreon.com/rsbnb, and there you can sign up for as little as $1 a month. You get access to our monthly bits, which we're going to be recording and giving to you guys next week. And this month's one is going to be about how we cope with negative cycles as content creators and RuneScape players, which I think is something everybody can take a lesson from. So that's going to be a good one, and I already got the general outline ready for that one to go. But
me too. It's in my fridge.
Exactly, right?
That's how I cope.
Oh, I see what you mean now. No, not like that. But if you want to support the podcast, as little as $1 a month, you get access to the entire back catalog. For $3 a month, you get a special VIP rank on Discord and a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, as well as access to high-quality AAC versions of the show. And for $5 a month, you'll get a shout-out every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year, in addition to everything else. And in case you're wondering what we have on offer for this, we have, of course, our monthly bit. That'll be coming out next week. We just put out an inside RSBNB update, which is an inside look in the way we do something here at RSBNB. And Tanis, you recorded one about how you play RuneScape with all your accessibility features. So I'd recommend everybody give that one a watch. That one was a very interesting one. And it ties into your Informer article too.
Yes.
And then, of course, we have the RSBNB Update Roundtable that we do in the middle of the month. And I think we'll probably do February's on the first weekend of Double XP Weekend. Extended.
Yeah, on Double... Yes, yes.
So those ones are always fun. And you know, should we reach that $99 a month tier, it'll be movie night in the RSBNB Discord with our favorite movies. And, you know, if anybody is also interested in subscribing to the Patreon feed, we're going to be trying something different for the Inside RSBNB update tier in February. We're going to try something called a variety show, where we're going to effectively take a step back from what we normally do here and just see what would an RSBNB update variety show look like. And the best way I can say this is, imagine a morning talk show, but applied to RuneScape. I think that's the best way of describing it. So all of this and more at patreon.com/RSBNB. And thank you so much to our wonderful Patreon supporters.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So tech news starting off. Would you believe it if I said that for the top 100 mobile apps, their subscription revenue jumped 21% in 2019 to be worth $4.6 billion? In the top 100 mobile apps.
Surprised I didn't know so many had subscriptions.
Yeah.
I thought we were getting away from subscription.
No, and everybody is doubling down on this.
Wow. Okay.
So
good for RS Mobile then?
Yeah, that's what that would definitely be. when this comes in. And, you know, this isn't just iOS or Android. It's both of them combined with this. And, you know, you look at some of the ones on here with this in particular, that users spent $3.6 billion in the top 100 subscription apps in 2019. YouTube was the top subscription app on the U.S. App Store, followed by Tinder.
Wait, there's a subscription for Tinder?
Apparently.
What do you get from a subscription?
I don't know, David.
I can tell you if you want.
Yeah, what do you get?
Yeah, so Tinder Gold lets you see. So I don't have it, but the way it works is that you get to see who has swiped on you. So, say 50 people have swiped on you. You could just click on a button and it'll only show you people who have already swiped on you. And then I think there's some other stuff too, like your profile gets like prioritized like early on when people start swiping, and then maybe you get more super likes or something, and then you get unlimited swipes. So like currently there are a certain number of, there's a swipe cap per day, but if you have gold, there's no cap. You can swipe until there's no more people left in your area or whatever.
All right. On Google Play, Pandora was number one. Google One, their storage solution, was number two, and Tinder was number three. And rounding out the top 10 overall, we have HBO, Bumble, whatever that is.
It's basically Tinder.
Okay. Hulu, Google One, LinkedIn, YouTube Music, and ESPN. Those are the top 10 overall.
You can definitely see YouTube Music.
Yeah.
It's so expensive.
On Amazon, on the App Store, Apple's App Store, rounding out the top 10 are Hulu, Bumble, HBO, LinkedIn, YouTube Music, Amazon Music, and ESPN. And then on Google's, it's a bit different. HBO, Disney Plus, Twitch, Bumble, ESPN, LiveMe, and MeetMe. And, you know, this is effectively saying that this is the way app purchases are going in the future, I'd say. When you bring
like
billions of dollars. Sorry, sounds like what?
Sex sells.
Oh, well,
yeah, it
yeah
does.
Based on
music.
This, right? So,
I mean, you got to have your tunes on.
Yeah, exactly.
On your on the way over.
I was about to say, I hope you're not suggesting that you aren't the same.
Or Disney Plus if you're on Android.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something else there, Shane.
No. And Twitch. All right. Now, this next one. I hope neither of you guys use Avast free antivirus.
I've never heard of it.
Okay. Because Avast is effectively harvesting users' browser histories, and they say that this data has been de-identified, but this data is actually being sold to third parties, which can be linked back to your real identities, which, when you think about it, exposes every click and search that you do on the internet with Avast antivirus installed. And this is happening even with the standard Avast antivirus, because previously they said that their browser extensions were doing this, but it's actually all of Avast with this.
Is it even, like, is that a pretty common one to use? Because I don't know anybody that's ever used it.
Yeah, it was common a few years back. I don't know.
Yeah, I used it a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think Malwarebytes is the main one that people use in this day and age. But, you know, in reality, Windows Defender is probably all you need unless you're installing lots of hideous junk on your computer.
Yeah, or you've had a bad experience because it only takes one run Defender and Sophos and Malwarebytes, if you name it.
Yeah, I just use Windows Defender now. It seems fine.
And looking at this data here, actually, sorry, it only comes from the browser extension, but still, the company policy should alarm everyone with this. They show what some of the de-identified data looks like on this, and you can see that this person bought a 10.5-inch iPad on Amazon, and the exact hour, minute, and second that they did it, you can see with this information. And this is what was, of course, being sold to advertisers. So, and, you know, the Avast CEO put out a statement on this, and, you know, they said, hey, we've decided to terminate the JumpShot data collection and wind down JumpShot operations with immediate effects. And it's good they said that, but, you know, this is the kind of thing that you really can't accept, or rather, you can't accept and from a company, because, I mean, there's just no way of knowing if it's actually still going on.
Yeah, no, this is where you need strong regulation. Like, because they are not capable of regulating themselves.
Oh, no, this was happening even with GDPR. Yeah, they were technically with this 100% legal within GDPR to do this.
Well, I mean, yeah, sure, it's legal. It's just we need to modernize a lot of these regulations to deal with the modern era. You know, the information.
Yeah, because I mean. And see, this is the path to monetization for these products, is they sell their data just like Facebook does. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's what the word free means. If you're not paying for it, you are the product. And you know, I just have to say, use Windows Defender. I have not had a problem with it, but maybe I'm a somewhat atypical Windows user. So. Aye, aye, aye. All right. Last piece of tech news this week marks 10 years since Apple first unveiled the iPad. January 27th, 2010.
Seems so much longer than that.
Yeah. And, you know, this was interesting because the iPad was actually thought of first before the iPhone, but they did the phone first. They wanted to do a tablet computer, but they wound up with an iPhone instead. And then a few years later, they got the iPad. And, you know, there's always been the question about would an iPad replace a computer? And I think for a lot of people, the iPad is a good web browser and an email device and a media consumption device, like ebooks and TV shows and whatnot. Maybe mobile games when RuneScape comes out, but I don't think you're going to find many people who are using the iPad as, you know, a consumption device, say Photoshop or video editing or podcasting, for example.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
And, you know, the funny part about this is that a few days before Apple did their announcement, Steve Ballmer, who was then the CEO of Microsoft, showed a Windows Slate PC tablet running Windows 7, and it just looked hideous in terms of the user interface and how fluid it was, and the very fact that the first prototype iPad blew it away says a lot. And, you know, I think there's lots of people out there who, and I'm one of them, who feel that the iPad hasn't really taken off, hasn't evolved the way it should have. It kind of stalled a bit in terms of, it's like, where does it go next? It's an interesting device, but is that the pinnacle of tablet? I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about that. Well, and, I mean, honestly, it's kind of cost prohibitive. It's so much more expensive than its competitors.
Well, is it though? I mean, you can get a $400 iPad for as one of the standards now.
Yeah, but that's the smaller one, right?
No, they're the same size, 9.7.
The same size?
You can get a 9.7-inch iPad for $399 US.
Well, that's come down a lot.
And, you know, the main reason they did that was to get back into schools.
Maybe, because, I mean, we paid like two or three times that.
Yeah, that would have been the first one on that. So, you know, looking at the modern iPads, the Pro starts at $799 US, but the standard plain Jane iPad, $329.
Wow.
$329. I thought it was $399, but $329.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Would that be worth it for a RuneScape playing device once mobile comes out if you need another one?
Yeah. Now, convincing the warden to allow me to acquire such a device might take some convincing, but...
But, you know, lo and behold, here we are. The iPad changed the tablet market just like the iPhone changed the PC, or sorry, the smartphone market. Then there was, you know, the Windows Surfaces who brought their own spin to it. And I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting time to look back and see where we were a decade ago with the iPad, because it's a device that effectively removed the barrier to computing, because laptops are good, but sometimes you just don't have the space for a laptop, right? So,
right. Well, and it definitely, I think, opened up mobile gaming. I mean, I know that's kind of a phone thing, but I don't know. I see a lot more people play on tablets than I do phones.
Yeah, that makes sense, especially from the size. You know, I was playing the most recent iOS Mario Kart game on my iPhone, and it's okay, and I have the Plus, but you'd get a much better experience if you played it on your pad.
Yeah, I imagine.
All right, let's move on to our achievements of the week. We do have a good number of them this week, so David will start off, and then we'll pick that up right before we get going.
The Lion with 120 Hunter on January 29th. Is it Yahoo?
I think so.
With 99 defense on the 29th. Yahoo also got 99 Constitution on the 29th of January. Madhouse SC with 99 smithing on January 28th. Rx with 99 herb lore on January 27th. And FE super TJE with 99 constitution on January 27th.
Next up, we have Rastafa with 200 million Constitution XP on January 27th, which is reportedly an Iron Man, which is absolutely astounding. Next up is Air Snipers with 99 magic on the 26th, Popo with 200 million Constitution on the 26th, Shamrock Sage with 99 mining on the 26th, Thyme with 120 farming on the 26th, Tyler with 120 Slayer on the 26th, and Ultra Dog 177 with 99 Hunter on January 26th.
Nice. Well, then we have Acronia with 99 summoning on January 25th, Doc Hawk with 99 mining on January 25th, Thaxi with 120 farming on January 24th, Yahoo with 99 magic on January 24th, Doc Hawk again with 99 ranged on January 23rd, and Yahoo with 99 mining on January 22nd.
Nicely done, nice everyone. And I can only imagine what the double XP weekend extended achievements are going to look like again.
Ooh. I need to borrow my screen reader for that one, Shane.
Yeah, or just get Mod Osborne to read them again.
Right.
All right. Well, you know, this time on RSBNB Update, last week we were getting ready for this the day before, but now it is officially launched. Last Thursday, the 23rd, was the first episode of Star Trek Picard. And I think, Tanis, that maybe this should be a joint pick of the week, but it's definitely my pick of the week. I don't know how you feel.
I loved it. And then I looked on YouTube like a couple days later, and I'm like, what the hell is wrong with people? Like, I enjoyed the shit out of it, man. I really liked it.
It's the internet, honestly. But, you know, this is the pick of the week, the new Star Trek series, Star Trek Picard. It marks the return of Patrick Stewart as Jean-Luc Picard for the first time since 2002's Star Trek Nemesis. And what many fans have been waiting for a long time, and I put myself in this camp, is a preview of what happened after Nemesis, what happened after Voyager got home, what happened after the Dominion War in Deep Space Nine. We didn't have any answers to all of those because Voyager was set in the Delta Quadrant, so we had no idea what was happening back home at that point. We had one movie that led us to believe that people were going to become closer with the Romulans, but we really didn't have much with that. And Star Trek Picard picks up the prime timeline Star Trek series about 22 years later, I believe it is, after Nemesis, give or take. It's set in 2399. And the whole point of it is that the Federation has changed. The Romulan planet has been destroyed by a supernova, which was alluded to in the 2009 Star Trek movie. And there's lots of changes that have been happening that have really bothered Picard. And the whole idea behind this is that he feels compelled that he needs to do something to effectively set the world, or in this case, the corner of the galaxy, right. And, you know, this is an important show because Star Trek has always been social commentary, right? I think we can both agree on that. And, and you talked about that on the episode list I gave you to watch before this happened. And you said 1989, they were talking about rights of sentient beings.
Yeah.
In one of the episodes.
And look where we are.
Exactly. And you know, without saying too much, that is one of the episodes that the series centers on. So if you had favorite episodes of The Next Generation, and that was your Star Trek TV show, Star Trek Picard is the place to pick that up. It's a lot slower than Discovery. It's the pace that people had, I think, expected Star Trek should be, and not the constant run-and-gun action movie style that we saw in the 2009 movies and Discovery. And it's going to be really interesting to see where season one goes. But, you know, this is the second time that we've been able to do a pick of the week as a new Star Trek series on the podcast, and it had to be done. And, you know, even if you have never watched any of it before, it's easy to get into. There's no onboarding needed. What I effectively mean by that is you don't need to know what happened in the last movie. You don't need to know what happened in Next Generation. You can just pick it up and go. And that's pick of the week, Star Trek Picard, available internationally on Amazon Prime Video, in the US on CBS All Access, and in Canada on the CTV Sci-Fi channel. So that's pick of the week. And that's where I'm going after this episode recording, to watch the most recent episode.
And Patrick Stewart hasn't missed a beat. Man, he was exactly what I had hoped for. And you know what was so cool, Shane? Like, you know how he's like the quintessential like captain, you know? I mean, he's the captain. He doesn't like they explained why he is where he is when the series starts.
And that's when he turned on his Picard again.
And it, yes. Oh, it was cool, man. It was good.
and the opening of the series too. That was a great callback in so many ways, but we won't say what that was.
Right.
So that's the pick of the week, Star Trek Picard. And with that, I'll hand it over to David's with what have you been up to on RS this week? Well, I think we probably know, but you can tell us anyways.
Yeah, well, so when PVM Hub came out, I obviously unlocked all the things for it. So I did some group bossing with old friends to do that. And then mostly I've been on my Iron Man. I've been training. I unlocked Invention recently, so I've been just doing tons of Slayer and fishing because my goal in the short term is to get an untrimmed Invention cape. So I think that'd be kind of cool to have on an Iron Man.
Wow. You know, I've actually seen that before on an Iron Man, a hardcore Iron Man too. So it's rare, but it's definitely a good one to go for.
Yeah, it's definitely very doable too. It's like it's weird because it's the easiest difficult seeming thing to explain it because, you know, Invention is such a fast skill. But yeah, I think it'd look cool though.
All right. And did you, you said you bought Premiere on that, right?
Well, I just bought a year of subscription.
Okay, so Premiere Club, basically, then.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
And mostly because of the PBM update, because I really was not looking forward to like things like 99 construction that are just totally useless, but are necessary for a Mac skill.
Right.
And now I could delay that as long as I'd like, because I have the PBM up.
Nice. Nice. All right. How about you, Tanis?
So believe it or not, I've been doing Reaper nearly every day this week. I've done a bunch of bossing. Not a bunch, but I alluded last week that I had found something that could potentially help me be able to survive much better.
Yeah, and you detailed that in your Informer article. And
yeah,
we put the appropriate notes on that and whatnot and everything.
And I did the inside RSB and B, so everything came together for me to really have a lot of fun and get some use out of this update that, I mean, wasn't for me, but it's been a lot of fun. So I've actually been rotating between Reaper and Potions, because it turns out if you kill things, you have to make tons of potions. Who would have thunk? I should have already had thousands of these on hand, but I had always put off Herblore. Like, I didn't want to do it until I could, like, just bust 100 mil out at a time. Now that's not going to really be a thing anymore with the extended, you know, double XP. So, I just went ahead and started doing it because I didn't have any potions ready. So, yeah, Reaper and potions. So I've done the twins this week. I've done some QBD.
Twin Furies.
Twin Furies, QBD, Vindicta, and I have a Magister to do tonight. So, yeah, who would have thought, right?
Who would have thought? Now you're doing more PVM than me.
Right.
The Magister is one of the best bosses to practice DPS rotations.
Cool.
He's really
interesting.
A lot of people learn Vortic auto attacking at Magister.
Oh, well.
I'm not suggesting you should do that.
We're not there yet. But we're getting there. Not quite there.
All right. Sounds good. As for me this week, as I mentioned, I've been rubbing my hands together at all the potion stuff that's been happening, you know. The dinosaurs are really good at this point in time, as are the frogs for poison slime. Because power bursts are actually going to be a fun way for people who are post-99 to train Herblore this double XP weekend. So I have these dinosaurs going as fast as I can, but they take forever to grow. So, I mean, the dinosaur products are going up again. They went down after the launch, but they're on their way back up again. So I'm mainly doing that. I'm also herb farming between Toadflax and Quorum, as I always do, but there's nothing really to say on that. And I've actually been cutting elder logs this week. I decided that, you know,
you're up to 8K, right?
Yeah, yeah. I decided that if I'm going to do 120 woodcutting, I'm just going to do it this way until there's a new training method that's going to give me the choice if I lean back or lean forward.
Wow, that's a lot to do 120 from Elder.
Yeah, it's gonna be a project. It might take, you know, a few years, but it's definitely a project, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And hopefully by that point we'll have something more engaging for woodcutting, or maybe even an actual 120 woodcutting, which would totally legitimize, you know, going for that skill. Because I still have a bit of a doubt in my mind about, you know, going for 120s that don't have actual 120s behind them, but that's more of a personal thing than not, so.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll get an active way to train with a much higher XP rate.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun. So. All right, I believe that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update. If you guys want to subscribe, you can do that at update.rsbnb.com/subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, practically anything under the sun, even YouTube, youtube.com/ RSBNB. And with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update, looking at those stone spirits. So until then, have a good one. Bye-bye, everyone.
See ya.